Father God, we come, Lord Jesus, to first of all tell you, God, that we're so grateful for who you are. God, we're so honored that you would choose to give up all that you had to come down to this earth, God, to be treated by us with rejection and dismay, God, and to despise you and to ultimately put you on a cross. But God, thank you for taking our sin and our shame and bearing our sins on a cross to pay the price that we could never fulfill, God. Lord Jesus, I pray that as we look into your word this morning, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us through it. Our hearts would be made alive. That you would come and fill us. In your name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can read Luke chapter 24 with us. If you don't have a Bible, there are several on the chairs next to you. Luke chapter 24. Anybody know the page number yet? Shout it out when you get there. What? 756. 756. All right. There we go. That's a little better. We started a journey about 4 weeks ago, a journey to the cross. And we basically traced the steps of Jesus Christ from a week before his death up until last week when we looked at the last hours of the life of Christ and saw the pain that he took in our place. What's so amazing about the scriptures is that everything that we celebrate today on Easter is the reason behind everything in the scriptures. From the first page to the last page, everything in the Word of God is about Jesus Christ. It is about how he made us, how he pursued us, how we turned our back on him over and over and over again, and how he still chose to come after us time and time and time again, eventually leaving the throne of heaven to come down and take on flesh. The Message version of the Bible puts it this way. Jesus moved into the neighborhood. And he did. As you watch the clips in the video that we just watched together, many were amazed at the life that they saw this Christ live. A humble carpenter, somebody who the Jews weren't expecting. The Jews were expecting a powerful king, a mighty ruler, to come and set them free from imprisonment, set them free from the Roman Empire, to make it so that they would live life and conquer the world with Jesus as their king, the Messiah as their king. But Jesus came to set them free, not of those things, but to set them free of bondage, of sin, and an idolatry in the disguise of religion. And Jesus came to show them the truth and the life and to set them free. A few moments ago, we had Harvey share with all of us kind of what happened that last day, that third day that Jesus was in the tomb and then he was brought to life. And I want to pick up in Luke right after those moments when the disciples came and they found the tomb empty. And it's pretty amazing what you see here. So turn to Luke chapter 24 with me. And I'm going to try and set this wireless mic down. Let's see if the other one will work. Is it working? Yeah? Okay, let's try and go with that. I won't move. Can you hear me now? Okay. All right, Luke chapter 24. I'm going to start in verse 1, and let's just listen together. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking their spices that they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, the mother Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told them these things and told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went in, went home marveling at what had happened. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus. Now, these two that we're introduced to, we only get to know the names of one of them, but these two were two other followers of Jesus, not one of what we think of the 12 disciples. But they, you'll see in a minute, believed in Jesus as well. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Clopas, answered him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, Jesus, "What things?" And they said to him, "Well, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it has now been 3 days since these things have happened. Moreover, some of the women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Does anyone here this morning know who wrote the first book of the Bible? Who wrote the first book of the Bible? Say it. Who wrote it? Somebody. Anyone. Moses. Exactly. Jesus started at the very beginning. And he did what? What did he tell them? He shared with them everything that the prophets and all the way back, all the scriptures had said about who? About himself. We'll get into that in a minute. Verse 27 again. "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets," all the writers of the Old Testament, "and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So they drew near to a village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it's towards evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, and he blessed it, and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he was talking with us on the road, while he opened up the scriptures to us?" And they rose that same hour, and they ran back the 7 miles to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 of those who were there gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened while on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them. And he said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do you doubt? Why do doubts rise in your hearts? See my hands, my feet. This is myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, said to him, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, blessing God. Everything that Christianity is about is wrapped up in the life of Jesus Christ. If you go to our website, you'll see a long statement of beliefs, but if you were to summarize everything that we as Hope Hill believe in into two words, it would be Jesus Christ. And my hope and encouragement to you as you celebrate with us this Easter day, the truth is, as I know, as many of you know, two of the most often attended services in a year is Christmas and Easter. And even here today, we probably have twice the size of a crowd than we typically do on a Sunday. And we're glad you're here, and we hope you come back. But the truth is that some of you will leave today, you'll gather some eggs, you'll enjoy the Easter festivities, but many of you will not return till Christmas or Easter next year. And my hope today is that you'll leave hearing something a bit different today. Not that the story is any different. If you've sat in Easter services all your life, you'll hear very much the similar story. But the truth is that the story doesn't need to change. But my hope is today the Holy Spirit will be working on your heart, and the thing that will change is that your heart will become open to him. You see, the Bible, from the very first page, as Jesus mentioned, when he said he started back with Moses, the very first five books of the Bible, called the Pentateuch, the Torah, are written ages before Jesus was even born, but they were about him. And as you go throughout the rest of scriptures, book after book after book, you see the Bible was not just written by one person. It's not one book, but it's 66 different books written by over 40 different authors over a span of 1,500 plus years. Many different people wrote down things as God revealed it to them. And today we have these writings gathered together, all telling one story about one person, Jesus Christ. Do you know him today? For those of you that have sat here with us the last few weeks, you've seen his examples of serving as a servant, taking the lowest place. He sat at a table with all his best friends at the Last Supper. They all had muddy, dirty feet, probably smelling really bad. And nobody had washed their feet, but Jesus got up from the dinner table and he washed their feet one at a time. And then he said, in the same way, serve one another, love one another, do as I have done for you. And then just hours later, he was arrested. He was beaten. And the Bible says that at any moment, he could have called down legions of angels And in the garden, while he prayed, he knew the pain that was coming to him, but he still prayed, God, I don't want this to happen. If some way there is some other way, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, yours be done. And we were challenged to look at our own life and to say, am I living for my own will, or am I surrendering my life to God and his will for my life? And as Jesus continued in that example, he didn't live for his own will. You see, Jesus was fully God, but he was also fully man. And he knew that those whips were going to hurt. He knew that crown of thorns was going to hurt as it was placed on his head. He knew that humiliation was going to be felt. But the Bible tells us that it wasn't nails that held him on the cross. It was his love for us and his decision to die in our place so that you and I could receive his love if we believe in him. The scriptures go from the very first page to the very last page, telling us a story of how God loved us. But it also tells us a story of how we, time and time again, turn our back on God and we go the opposite direction, choosing our own will, our own ways. And we look back at the nation of Israel. We see them walk through the Sea of Galilee. We see them walk across a Red Sea that's parted. We see them go through and see Jesus calm storms. We see Jesus do amazing miracles, but their hearts kept becoming hardened. Their eyes kept turning away. And in the same way, if we are honest, we see that in our own lives. The Bible says that sin is, if we know to do something and we don't do it, that is sin. And if we know to not do something and we do it, that is sin. And the Bible says that each and every one of us in this room, every one of us in this world, even the one who's lived the most perfect lives, all of us have sin. And the Bible says that God is totally holy and that he is pure light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if we have any sin in our lives, we cannot be one with God. And so Jesus came and he gave up his life. Why? So that we could be brought back into relationship with our Father. So that our sins could be paid for. So that our stained sin could be washed white as snow if we simply put our faith and trust in him and believe in him. Today, we're going to do a couple things as we conclude our service. But before we do that, I want to give you a chance to look at your own heart and to ask yourself, am I sitting in this room on an Easter day because it's the American thing to do? Or am I sitting here on this Easter day because Jesus is speaking to me right now? And I need to open up my heart and say, yes, I will believe in you. Yes, I will accept the forgiveness that you offer. Yes, I am sorry that it is my sin that helped to put you on that cross. And I turn from my sin to follow you. Are you here for that reason this morning? Are you here to allow the Holy Spirit to make you a new person? It doesn't matter what you came in here with today. You can leave it all at the feet of the cross where Jesus shed his blood, and you can walk away from this place a new person today if you simply put your faith and trust in him. I invite you today to take that step. There were a couple things that were really amazing about this passage that we just read. First of all, Jesus walked 7 miles. A lot of critics think that somehow Jesus possibly didn't actually die. If you read the scriptures or even hear the history of how Romans did crucifixion, there is no way that any person could survive that. And then, after being beaten that bad, if somehow critics, you know, I was watching History Channel and they were talking about Jesus, how it's possible that if he didn't die while he was in this tomb, that he possibly, you know, after a few days rest, was able to recoup from all those wounds, and that he got out, and from behind he was able to push that large stone that took a few soldiers to push in place. But Jesus possibly didn't die. He pushed that stone and he snuck away while no one was looking. That's what some critics say, that he didn't actually die. But in this passage we then see that Jesus walked 7 miles with these other two guys, and as he walked with them, he started from the very beginning. The scriptures about that Moses wrote in the prophets. And he said, all of those things that you've learned as Jewish young men growing up in the temple, they were about that guy Jesus. They didn't know that Jesus was standing right there talking to them. All those things that were written, they were about that guy. And he came. And then as he finally had dinner with them, he sat there at a table. And they broke bread together. And they drank wine. And as he took the bread, and he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to them, and he offered them the cup, the Bible says that their eyes were opened. This is him. They now could believe that it was Jesus. They now had their eyes open, and they got up out of their room that very hour, and they ran back the 7 miles back to Jerusalem, and they said, it's true, it's true. What the woman said earlier this morning is right. Jesus is alive. He is risen. We have seen him. And still, Thomas, we always hear of Thomas, but in the Gospel of Luke, all the disciples were there doubting. Is it really? There's no way. So Jesus himself had to appear. And he stood there in their midst, and still they didn't believe. Come on, touch me, he said. Look, there's my scars. Look, right here where the spear pierced me. Touch me, it is me. Believe in me. I have flesh. I'm not a ghost. Still they didn't believe. And so he was like, well, give me some fish. I'll eat with you. And then again, their eyes were opened. Today, we're going to have a meal together. And you might be sitting here saying, you know, that's a nice story. I'm not sure I believe it. My prayer and my hope is that as you sit there today, your eyes would be open and you'd come to believe in Jesus, that Jesus is real. 2,000 years ago, our whole world was changed because of him. Even our calendar is impacted because of the life of one man, Jesus Christ. Today, do you believe in him? Today, at the end of our service, we're going to have a meal, and it's for all who believe. Jesus said, when you eat this bread, this is a symbol of my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. When you drink this cup, this is a symbol of my blood that will be shed for you to pay for your sins. When you drink it, drink this in remembrance of me, remembering that I died for you on the cross. My blood was shed to pay for your sin. It was shed for my sin. And so I invite you today that if you believe that, if you believe that Jesus died for you, if you believed his blood was shed for you, then eat and remember. Repent of your sins. Turn from the things that you know that you shouldn't be doing. It's those things that put him on that cross. It's our sins that he had to go to the cross for. And so my hope today is that you'll remember him and that you'll repent. Father God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your love for us. And God, we pray that you help our love and our hearts to grow for you. God, we know that 2,000 years ago, you suffered one of the most intense deaths anyone could ever face. And you did it willingly, God, because of your love for us. You did it to bring us a new life. We celebrate with those, God, who have given their hearts to you today. And we pray, God, that your love would continue to pour through our lives so that new eyes would be opened. Be with us, God, now as we worship you. Let your love and your spirit fill this place. As we enter into this time of worship, we will have communion on both sides here. We have a table in the back as well. And we have two prayer teams that will be stationed in between the lights on each side. If there's an issue in your life that you want to pray with someone about, if you want to pray with someone about receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, if there's something that you're holding on that you just can't speak about, want someone to pray over you, then our prayer teams will be available to pray with you on each side. During our time of worship, as we close today and celebrate what Christ has done, we invite you to come to the table as you feel led. Let God speak to you. Let God work in your heart. And in response for what he's done for us, we ask that you remember and then go ready from this place to live for him.